Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is taken from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, reading at the 43rd through 45th verses. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your word of truth. These are your words of truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for many years my aunt was the elementary principal of a school on the Fort Apache Indian Reservation in East Central Arizona. And she told me a story about one of the students in her school. He was a fifth grade Apache boy. She noticed that this little Apache boy was memorizing everything he could possibly find about the state of Alaska. And so in his mind, he had a map of Alaska. He could see every city and location of every road, every river. He just spent inordinate amounts of time for a fifth grader in the library looking through encyclopedias, learning everything he could about Alaska. And so she asked him, "Why are you doing this?" And reluctantly, the little boy explained that a few years earlier, he had a very mean teacher. And that teacher had publicly embarrassed him and hurt his feelings on many occasions. Well, that teacher retired, and that teacher moved to Alaska. So this little boy, true story, this little boy was memorizing everything he could about Alaska because when he grew up, he wanted to go to Alaska. He wanted to find that teacher, and he wanted to kill him. Don't get mad, get even. I'm sure glad there's none of that in me. Well, maybe there's just a little bit of that in me. That guy's destroying what we've worked for generations to accomplish. I wish he'd just drop over dead. Or that jerk, she ruined my relationship with my best friend. I just hope someday that she goes through the anguish that I'm going through right now. Of course he made it to the top. He climbed on top of everybody else. He marginalized all the little people. But you know what they say? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And I just want to be there to see it when it happens. There's a part of that in each and every one of us. We want to somehow get even. It's so natural to love your friends and to hate your enemies. We want to actually go ahead and punish people who do bad things to us and reward people who are good to us. That's just the way it goes. It's just so natural. And then we read our text and Jesus tells us to rethink things. Yes, go ahead and love your friends. Great, wonderful, God-pleasing, but also love your enemies. And that just cuts straight against the grain. Maybe Jesus doesn't mean love in the sense of love as we know it. Maybe it's kind of a little trick statement of Jesus Christ. So what does Jesus mean when he tells us, love your enemies? Our little word love is, you know, it's almost meaningless because it's so broad. And there are all sorts of different kinds of love. For example, handsome guy, beautiful woman, eyes meet across a crowded room for the first time. Love at first sight. It's biological. It's emotional. The mother has love for the child that she carried to full term and then delivered and then nourished. We have love for our siblings. We have romantic and love of friendship with our spouse. But that's not what Jesus is talking about when he says, love your enemies. It's, again, a kind of love which cuts against the grain. It's love for the undeserving. It's love for the unlovable. It is, to use the words of a theologian, invincible goodwill. We're supposed to have invincible goodwill for our enemies. This means that no matter what they do to us, no matter how they treat us, no matter if that person insults us or injures us or grieves us in any fashion, we're not supposed to let bitterness build up in our hearts and want to get even with that person. That's exactly what he's talking about. It's like God-like love. And so how do you get God-like love? You get it from God. And that's the only source of that kind of love which would allow you to love your enemies. I want to read to you a verse from Romans chapter 5. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then that passage in Romans goes on to explain, while we were still enemies of God, God loved us. The natural inclination of our heart, of our thoughts, of our words, of our deeds, our constitution, if you will, is totally against God. And what has God done? Because the nature of his heart is such, he loved us even though we were enemies. And he dedicated himself to saving us. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, here to live amongst us. And what did Jesus do out of his love? He did what we were unable to do. He lived a life of total perfection, pleasing God. And not only that, he took upon himself all of our sins. And there you see it. On the inside, open that up, you'll see a cross. You'll see a cross. You'll see a cross. You'll see a cross everywhere. You'll see what Christ has done for us. He has paid for our iniquities with his own life. Why? So he could turn his enemies into his friends. So he could save us. That's the love of God for us. And you know, that's where our love for our enemies comes from. When we come to chapel, and when we hear about what Jesus has done for us, it's like getting an injection of love into our own hearts. The Holy Spirit starts working in there and working that our will soon conforms to the will of our Heavenly Father and our brother Jesus Christ. And we too learn to love our enemies, praying for them earnestly that they would turn from their ways, turn their hearts to the Lord and be saved and be with us and with our Lord in heaven, in paradise. I don't want to say amen right now, and then we'll get right to the prayer and sing. Rather, I want to give you a little homework assignment. I want you to think of this. That little fifth grade Apache boy had been so wrongfully treated by his teacher. Now, somebody invites that little boy to Sunday school, and he goes and he hears about the Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is working in his heart. And he's learning of the forgiving love of Christ. And as he matures and as he gets older and as he thinks about that teacher of his, he's going to offer up a prayer. I want you to try to write that prayer of that little boy for that person who was his enemy. What would be the content of that prayer? May God grant that it is forgiveness and that it is love. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your love for us is infinite. You have sent your only Son to save us. You have adopted us to be your children. You have prepared for us a place in heaven. We pray that you would allow us the opportunity, through your gracious goodness, to live our lives in this world where our souls are filled not with bitterness, but with love. Let us see others as you have seen us. Lord, teach us to love our enemies. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.